Okay.
Hello and welcome to Your Quality of Life, Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr.
Thank you.
Sauer, and I'm so excited today to have a good new friend of mine, Paige Davidson, on my podcast today. Welcome, Paige.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here, Bridgette.
Yeah, me too. So, Paige, you are a woman, of course, like myself, but after menopause, you didn't just give up and say, that's it, I'm just getting fatter and fatter until I end up in the grave. But you turned around a 40 plus year struggle with morbid obesity and failed diets, even failed weight loss surgery. Wow. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, you know, I suffered with obesity and morbid obesity for so many years. And I tried every diet known to man. I went to every weight loss center, every physician's weight loss program. I did shakes and diet medications prescribed by my doctor, weekly weigh-in programs, and every attempt I would lose some weight. And I would hold on trying to do that diet until I finally just couldn't do it anymore. You know, I just couldn't stand the restrictions and the weighing and the measuring. Mostly, I just wanted to be normal. I wanted to be like everybody else and not have to weigh and measure my food and do all of those things. So then I would quit. I would gain back all that weight plus more. And I eventually dieted my way up to 315 pounds. So at that point, I was so desperate, Bridgette. I was just so desperate. I agreed to weight loss surgery. And I was the second gastric bypass patient. I had the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass surgery in Kentucky. And at that time, my surgeon said to me, Paige, I can operate on your stomach, but I can't operate on your brain. But he didn't give me any further instruction or assistance or details or anything. And so he gave me this wonderful tool to be able to lose weight. And I followed his guidelines and I lost over about a year and a half, I lost 150 pounds. But I was not able to ultimately keep it off. I kept that off about 5 years. And then I went back to my old habits and thinking patterns. And by 2019, I was back up to 250 pounds. And, you know, I didn't even give that much thought to the fact that I was in menopause. I was just so desperate to get healthy and to feel good again. I said I would never diet again. And I really meant that. So what I decided to do was to do what I had never done before, was to seek some counseling and try to figure out what was at the root of all of this. I knew that what that surgeon said to me was right. It was all in my head, but I didn't know how. I didn't know what it was or how to fix it, or I would have fixed it already. So I found an amazing Christian counselor, and that's where I got started. And soon after I started working with her, I discovered intermittent fasting, which I understand you are quite familiar with.
I am. I have a similar story and we'll talk about that later, but please go on. It's fascinating to hear how you went about, and I have a few questions coming up, but continue.
Okay. Well, my sister actually told me about intermittent fasting, because at that time I had two extremely painful foot conditions. I had plantar fasciitis in one foot, and I had Achilles tendonitis in the other foot. And I literally, Bridgette, I was limping. I was in so much pain every day. I could barely walk. I could barely do my job. I worked at a library and I had to be on my feet all the time. And we were super busy. I was running around all the time And I just was getting to where I couldn't keep up. I could hardly do my job. So my sister tells me about intermittent fasting, which is a pattern of eating in time within the day where you eat during a certain number of hours called your eating window. And then the rest of the day, the rest of the 24-hour period, you do not eat at all. You can drink certain beverages, and that's all you have during your fast. And when she told me that, Jenny, I said, stop right there. That sounds crazy. That sounds like some crazy fad diet, and I'm not going to do that. And she said, well, just research it. Do your own research. It's not a fad. It's not a diet, but it heals inflammation in your body. And I thought that might help your foot pain. Well, that got my attention. And so I did the research and I found out what an amazingly healthy lifestyle this was. Now, I'm going to admit I was skeptical. I still thought it was a diet, but I was so desperate to get out of pain. I thought I'm going to try it and just see if it helps my pain. I jumped right in. Within 2 weeks, Bridgetti, I was not limping anymore. My pain had decreased so much in just 2 weeks. I was still in pain, but I could walk normally. And that was a miracle to me. That was just a miracle. So I kept going. And after about 3 months, my research revealed that if you're trying to heal something like inflammation, a longer fast can be appropriate. So at that point, I added in one longer fast of 43 hours every week. The rest of the week, I did my normal 20-hour a day fast. And within 6 months, I was healed. No more foot pain at all. And at the same time, I had lost almost 60 pounds. And I thought, you know, this really is not a diet. This really is a very healthy lifestyle. I was leaning towards making good, healthy choices because I wanted to, not because somebody was standing over me telling me what I had to do. And I just rebelled against that. Somehow, being empowered to make my own choices made the hugest difference. It just made all the difference. I went on to lose 110 pounds in 14 months.
Wow.
I cured those inflammation-driven conditions. I cured my obstructive sleep apnea. For the first time in my life, my BMI was normal. All of my blood pressure and glucose levels and all of those numbers were in healthy range. That had never happened before. So I just find intermittent fasting to be just miraculous.
It is sure it seems miraculous to our modern world. For me, it was a natural solution after I stumbled across it, because I had done history of medicine for a long time in medical school as a naturopath. And I thought, yes, how did the people eat 10,000 years ago? And Weston Price in the 19th century, he explored all that. When they had something to eat, like they took a deer or they had a bounty of fruit or vegetables, they gorged and ate as much as they could. Well, they had no way to conserve the food, no grocery store to go in between. So what was a natural solution? Well, eat nothing while hunting for the next deer or for the next piece of food. So then I thought by myself, what did they do? Wow, they did intermittent fasting.
Exactly. And
the best variant of it, which many researchers now know, as you probably know very well, is when you vary the intervals and don't stick to just one form, because the human body needs a switch up to actually It needs a constant change. If you stay the same, it gets used to it and adjusts the body weight thermometer back up. Because in our modern world, the environmental toxins and influences drive you to get obese.
They do.
And it is so hard to get out of there. And I love when you say that you managed. And you know what else I see in you? You are such a disciplined woman. And many people that are overweight for a long time get labeled lazy, slob, stupid. The opposite is true. Nobody works harder than an obese woman trying to lose weight.
I know. It's really ironic, isn't it? Because in our society, there is so much bias against people who are overweight, obese, morbidly obese. You know, all of those microaggressions that we suffer from. When we get on an airplane and we see everybody staring at us thinking, oh, I hope she doesn't sit by me. I hope she doesn't sit by me because I'll be squished in my seat. She'll take up all my room. And then when you choose your seat, when you get to your seat and that one person you're sitting by, the look on their face is terrible and everybody else is so relieved, you know, or when you go to the grocery store and people are looking at what you have in your cart and judging you when they have the same things in their cart that you have in your cart, all of those little things that we suffer from every day. But people don't realize how strong women are who are really trying to get their health back.
Yeah, and it is really important to realize it is one of the last discriminations that people do and get away with, and it's not right. And right. I'll tell you my own airplane story. When I was 315 pounds, isn't that interesting? Before I had weight loss surgery, I sat next to my husband, who was also overweight, not too much, and I couldn't close the seatbelt. So I waved the stewardess and said, could I please have a seatbelt extension? That was hard enough, but watch what happened next. She hollered across the whole airplane in her loudest voice, the woman needs an airplane extension.
Oh no.
I wanted to sink under my seat and be buried alive.
That's horrible.
It was horrible. And as you said, the people look at you, the monsters among us.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's horrible. It really is a horrible thing to deal with.
Yeah. And that's worse than the pain when you go up the stairs and the huffing and puffing that you can't do things.
Yes.
But that degradation, what did it do? It made me want to eat more.
Of course. Of course. It's part of the problem.
Wow. And people like me and you that experience that, they need a good strategy and coach to do that. Now, I think it is so important to share those stories because it is possible to change that. So what was the worst moment in your whole life as an obese person?
Oh, you know what? I wrote a book and I talked about this experience that I had, and it was the first time in my life that I had ever opened up and shared this experience because it was so painful.
Which book
but
is
I had
this one here? Which book is that? This one here?
Yes. Invisible. I'm sorry.
Invisible No More,
Invincible Forevermore. Yeah. Sometimes I get it backwards. Yeah. Invisible No More.
And it is amazing. There's 29 stories in it from women like you and me that experienced an amazing transformation. And thank you, Linda, for promoting that. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it for free on my website. I highly recommend you get it. Paige's story alone is worth the price.
Oh, well, thank you. I was sitting in a fast food restaurant drive-through line, and I had just gotten up to the window. I was just about to order, so the speaker was turned on, and a car full of adolescent boys drove up to me they started throwing trash at my car. They were yelling insults at me, calling me fat pig and hog, and saying things like, yeah, eat some more and get fatter, hog. I mean, it was just the most, it was the most overt experience of cruelty that I had ever experienced because of my obesity. And I was just humiliated. And to make it 10 times worse, this was being broadcast through the whole restaurant because, you know, everybody can hear what's going on with those, through those speakers. And the poor little girl that worked, and then the, and then their car drove on, you know, they went on. But the poor little girl that worked there was just, she just stuttered. And she said, I'm so sorry that that happened. And I was just so humiliated. I just left. I just drove on and left. I couldn't even face the look on her face if I had gotten up to that window. And that was really and truly the most humiliating experience I had ever had. I haven't had anything that horrible since then. I've had lots of bad things, but that was the most overtly cruel thing I had ever experienced.
So let me ask you, after that experience, what did you do?
Oh, I cried. You know, I had to go back to work because I was on my lunch break, but I was depressed. I was down. I was embarrassed.
Did you grab the cookie bowl? Did you eat, right?
What
did
you eat? Of course. That's, you know, that's how I handled. I'm an emotional eater. And I was very emotional. And so it's a vicious cycle. You know, I would eat because I was upset. Then I would gain weight. Then I would be really upset that I had gained weight. Then I would eat because I had felt upset. It just, it's really something that we need some way to help us stop that cycle, whether it's counseling or whether it's a coach or some type of online community where you can share your experience and discuss it and talk about it. You have to be able to work with someone somehow. If we keep all of this bottled up inside, it doesn't get solved. It just gets worse.
You are so right. And it was a little easier for me after my weight loss surgery because I had worked through a lot of my own mental health issues before when I nearly committed suicide 10 years earlier. And that story is for another day, but it is really important that you work through your issues because many women that end up obese use fat as a protection for something that happened in their childhood. And not all women that are obese are comfortable speaking about it. I'm not sure if you are. I don't want to put you on the spot. But I can share for me, it was sexual abuse in childhood. And I always felt being obese, hey, who wants to have sex with an obese woman? And my first husband actually told me, oh, I don't want to have sex with you today. You look like you're pregnant and no man wants to have sex with a pregnant woman. Well, I wasn't pregnant. I was fat.
Oh,
that is quite hurtful to hear that from your own husband. He wasn't a good husband.
Yes.
But things like that, many overweight and obese women experience that.
Yeah, I didn't have an experience like that. It's my experience is it did start in childhood, but it's a little bit ironic. My mother suffered from the same thing, same issues. I remember her joining Weight Watchers when they first came to our town, and my mother lost 100 pounds 3 different times with 3 different weight loss programs and always gained it all back. And she was, I really essentially learned those behaviors through watching my mom. Mm. And she honestly, her whole family suffered from obesity and morbid obesity. I mean, almost every member, not every single member, but most members, you know, had that same issue. And she could see I was a normal sized child, but I loved food. I loved to eat. And I was a little stubborn. I didn't like to be told what to do. Well, my poor mom didn't know what to do. She could see me traveling on that same path. And I think she so desperately wanted to help me. She so desperately wanted for me not to have to live with what she had lived with. She was really on me about food all the time.
And that's the problem.
She was always watching me. She was always commenting on what I was eating, what I should be eating, what I shouldn't be eating. Mm. And that made me kind of go underground. I thought, well, I'm going to eat what I want to eat. And if she's going to give me a hard time, I'll just take it and hide it in my room and eat it when I want to. Mm. So that started all those kinds of behaviors. So it's really ironic that my poor mom was trying her very best to help me, but those things were harmful to me.
Isn't that interesting? And that is I think quite often the case that it is a family thing, that in the family, the body image of the mother is so bad that she projects it to her daughter and assumes she will have the same problems as her and they have to be addressed early. And then she pushes in the wrong direction. The pendulum goes too far to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And she produces what she fears the most.
Yeah. And that's really sad to me. It's sad because she was so good-hearted and so loving and had the very best of intentions. It's just, I find it really ironic that, you know, her
she
best
sounds
efforts,
like a woman that loves too much.
Yeah.
Aww.
So
is she still around or did she pass on?
She passed away in October of this year. She had Alzheimer's.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. So I love the work that you do with brain health. Both of my parents had dementia. My father had Lewy body dementia. And my mother has had Alzheimer's. And truly, that's the reason I will always intermittent fast. I love what it did for my weight. I love what losing that weight and practicing intermittent fasting gave me the space mentally to step back and do a lot of healing. But the thing that I love most about intermittent fasting is that it helps prevent or at least, you know, prolong the until maybe you might have one of these diseases. Alzheimer's disease is being called type 3 diabetes. And, you know, inflammation is definitely a driver of Alzheimer's. And so I will always practice intermittent fasting because of that, if nothing else.
Yeah, it makes a big difference for the brain health generally, and also for depression and anxiety, by the way, because also depression is associated often with anxiety, and there's different types of Alzheimer's. And I love the work of one of my mentors, Dr. Daniel Amen, who is a brain health specialist. Everybody knows his book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. It is mm-hmm. awesome. I recommend it to anybody. And he has proven that there's different types of Alzheimer's together with, the end of Alzheimer's, Dale Bredesen. Yeah, excellent book. And mm-hmm. they both wrote similar books about Alzheimer's, which are excellent to help you reduce the risk for this terrible condition, even if it is genetically in your genes, as they say, but your genes are not your destiny, as we know.
Right.
And intermittent fasting can help you not just immediately gain clarity, reduce pain and lose weight and feel better, but it has long-term benefits. And I always think it is because we go back to the roots of what humans should do by their human condition. Like we lived 10,000 years ago or even 500 years ago before we had grocery stores and fridges around the corners. and convenience stores. How convenient to get fat and unhealthy.
It is very convenient to help you get fat, isn't it?
And for mental health, the disaster is the asocial media.
Yeah, but intermittent fasting really helped me, not only with my physical health, it helped me with, you know, clarity and spiritual health, emotional health and wellness, mental health. You know, I suffered from low grade depression for years and took two medications for that. And I finally healed my emotions and my body and my, everything to where I didn't need one of those medications at all anymore. My physician, of course, always work with your physician, but my doctor took me off one medication and greatly reduced another. So I really have found true holistic health through intermittent fasting.
And that is the story to really share and share forward, because anybody that wants a journey that includes weight loss and eating healthier, feeling better, should at least explore and try intermittent fasting as a way of natural healing. And I'm so glad you are doing it. Now, let me ask you, when you see clients as a coach, I know you do intermittent fasting a lot for your clients.
Yes.
What process do you take them through?
Well, when we discuss intermittent fasting, I generally advise my clients to start off very slowly and start with a shorter fast and a little bit of a longer eating window, and kind of gradually and naturally increase their fasting time. And we go through and we look at what their goals are, because, you know, your goal is a variable, is it drives what choices you make in determining your eating window and your fasting time. And research has shown that even if you do a 16-hour fast and an 8-hour eating window, that's not a really a weight loss protocol, but it still delivers health benefits. There are many people who don't even need to lose weight, but they practice intermittent fasting because of all of the many health benefits. So we look at their goals, we determine, you know, is there something you need to heal? Like I was trying to heal my inflammation. Are you looking to improve your health numbers? Do you want to lose weight? What are your goals? And then we determine what we are going to start with and work towards.
And that is a very helpful way to structure it so your clients will actually be successful. And as you said, it's always helpful to ask your doctor first, because certain people, for example, diabetics on insulin, they should not start intermittent fasting. That can be dangerous. People that have other health conditions, always ask your doctor. Always a good idea. And also, if you have serious emotional problems, it can help to work with a counselor, psychologist, a licensed psychologist that you are comfortable with. And I can't emphasize the importance of finding somebody that you feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And a coach can be bridging the gap between you on the one side that is struggling with the everyday decisions. What do I do today? I feel hungry. And the expert that is there on the other side, that you can see them every now and then, but in the middle can be the coach helping you to bridge that gap and give you that little nudge in the bum or and a kick in the butt, whatever it is you need right now, the accountability to tell you, hey, you can do that.
Oh yeah, a coach is an amazing asset to have.
Yeah,
because your physician absolutely is critical in working with you and what's healthy for you, but your physician does not have the time to really listen and to ask you good questions and help you think about things that would be beneficial for you to think about, you know, help you kind of heal yourself. So a coach is an amazing asset to be able to discuss and talk and get that accountability.
You break it down step by step for them so they know where to find the resources. You give them the resources they need to be successful. And then the motivation, the follow through, the accountability, the encouragement.
Yes.
That every woman and man that wants to lose weight needs that. And
absolutely.
Some emotional support and just being able to reach out by email and say, hey, I'm having a hard day. Can you tell me what's going on? And you say, hey, could it be that? I went through that before. And boom, light bulb and problem solved.
Well, and that's right. And to work with somebody who has actually been there.
Yeah.
Who actually knows what it feels like to be morbidly obese, mm-hmm. who knows that vicious cycle, who has been in it for years and was able to figure out a way to come out of that, to turn it around.
Yeah.
So I work with women who have had weight loss surgery and then unfortunately gained that weight back. You talk about rock bottom. When you do the ultimate weight loss attempt and then it's not ultimately successful for you, that is so hard to live with. So but that doesn't mean you can't be successful and you can't be happy. I didn't know about intermittent fasting when I had weight loss surgery, and it served a purpose. It was helpful. I lost a lot of weight. Now I gained most of it back, but it was, at the time, it was the best that I had.
I really think people confuse the tool with the solution.
Right.
Because weight loss surgery is a tool. The
exactly.
solution is to change your eating habits, and you need a good coach to do the latter. You need a surgeon to do the weight loss surgery. And I feel still most people that are 150, 200 pounds overweight benefit from getting that tool. I never regret having it had myself. But you have to be aware that it's not the solution. It's like using a ladle to make soup. Yeah, it doesn't work. If you want the soup, you have to cut the vegetables and all the little things. The ladle is a good tool to put it in the bowl.
That's a great example. There is research that shows, good coaches are behavior change experts.
Exactly.
And that is the difficult part about losing weight. It's not even about the food so much as it's hard to extinguish bad habits. It's difficult to establish healthy new habits and be consistent. And we go to the doctor and they tell us, this is what you need to do. A, B, C, D, E, go do it. Well, most of us take those recommendations home, throw them in the drawer and carry on, because we need support. We need support in those behavior changes. And that is also part of the value of a great coach.
That's absolutely crucial. And I'm so glad you are doing that for your people. So if somebody is watching this video show or podcast, listening to the podcast, and they say, wow, I have to try that. I have to meet Paige. I have to talk to her. What can they do?
You can go to my website, fastingwithpaige.com. And you can read all about my story. I have different programs and options and price ranges. And I love to work with groups. I call myself a crew coach. I want to join your crew. Instead of collecting, a group of strangers, I would love to come into your group as a part of your group, work with you and help you and your friends, your family members. Because I think there's so much value to community.
Yeah.
And I do individual coaching and love that. But I especially love group coaching because I just love the power of community.
Yeah.
And when you're, you know, when you are working with your, you know, I have two sisters and they're my crew and we do everything together. And so, you know, I love working with small groups of people who have connections and laugh together and cry together and commiserate and have accountability and all those things. So all of that information is on my website and I would love to work with you.
So that's wonderful, Paige. And I will make sure that this information is shared on the video and in the description. Thank you so much for sharing your story and being the bright light that this world needs to create more sparkles in people's eyes. We all need that, won't we, sisters? All right. Thank you so much. And this was it for today's show. Join me next week on the next show when I get it up. On your quality of life, healthy alternatives. Bye-bye.